Welcome to Executives at the Edge, a podcast brought to you by MEF. I'm your host, Pascal Venezis. Join me as we explore thought-provoking perspectives from the leaders and changemakers who are propelling enterprise digital transformation forward. I am really so excited to have Rosemary Cochran, principal and co-founder of Vertical Systems. And today we're going to cover really carry Ethernet and SD-WAN and the evolution of connectivity. So with that, welcome Rosemary to Executives at the Edge. If you can please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and, you know, your company, Vertical Systems, that'd be really appreciated.
Okay. Thank you, Pascal. I'm really delighted to be here to talk with you about connectivity evolution. Vertical Systems Group is specializing in connectivity services and networking trends. Over the years, we've closely tracked migration to new services and solutions as they've evolved. And our ENS service, which is Enterprise Network Service Platform, we offer continuously updated research with cloud-based access to in-depth statistics and analysis and market share results. And right now, we're covering carry Ethernet, SD-WAN, SASE, business fiber, and wavelength deployments.
Well, that is awesome. So, Rosemary, what are the top five catalysts that's driving enterprise network migration? We know that connectivity is becoming very, very important all over the world. Everybody wants connectivity. And so what are these top five catalysts?
The top five C's, as we call them, are connectivity, cost, control, cloud, and cybersecurity. So connectivity is really essential, obviously, for everything we're doing right now. The need to improve network connectivity is a major catalyst for enterprises because they aim to optimize application performance, improve user experience, and they're needing to make purchase decisions based on things like availability, reliability, scalability, performance, and cost. So a major catalyst. So cost is also important from the standpoint of value to cost ratios for network technologies, which are changing across the board. Migration to higher bandwidth services is increasing because the cost per bit is eroding, and that's due to price compression as well as technology shifts. There are also more lower cost options like best effort broadband. And the third C would be control, and that's catalyst, which is changing the mix of application flows, driving the need for more efficient and dynamic bandwidth, and real-time application-aware performance monitoring. So control capabilities include the intent-based network optimization, in-depth analytics, and use of AI, which is obviously increasing, and automated orchestration. The next one is cloud, and that refers to migration catalysts that's driving enterprises to virtualize applications in either private or public clouds or both. This is very disruptive, too, because enterprise network managers are being forced to change on connectivity purchases, including the type of service, the speeds, and providers. Another cloudy area that they find is that you're dealing with a multitude of legacy applications that have yet to actually be transformed. And finally, cybersecurity is the last C, which is not least. I call this a nonstop challenge because it's not something that can ever be like ended. I think we'll never be done with that. It's a critical catalyst as solutions are evolving and tactics are intensifying to protect network infrastructures, physical assets, sensitive information. And network providers are actively focusing on that with initiatives that encompass AI and advanced technologies, as well as trying to recruit cybersecurity expertise and expanding security operations centers all over the world. So the bottom line is that these catalysts are very interrelated, and they all have an impact on the connectivity evolution, carrier Ethernet and SD-WAN.
So it sounds like a little bit about what we're talking about, network as a service, our MEF network as a service for themes, which is on-demand connectivity. It is application assurance, which is SD-WAN or slicing. It is cybersecurity, which is today's mainly SASE ideas, and then obviously connectivity clouds, and including edge compute. So very much in alignment with what really MEF is thinking the same way. So you, Vertical Systems in general, puts out this leaderboard. Mm-hmm. If our listeners, just maybe just give some examples of what a leaderboard is, or just, you know, what is a leaderboard? And then basically you talk about Carrier Ethernet. Carrier Ethernet is still huge. And talk about Carrier Ethernet and how this relates to the leaderboard, and what are you seeing, and what are the top providers in this leaderboard?
Sure. As we have the U.S. Carrier Ethernet leaderboard, which was just released for 2023, and that includes six companies in rank order. It's based on retail port share for Ethernet services. And the rank order for these six companies are AT&T, Lumen, Spectrum Enterprise, Verizon, Comcast Business, and Cox. And the threshold for that leaderboard in order to get a rank position is having at least 4% or more of the U.S. retail services market. We also have a challenge tier, which is based on companies that have between 1% and 4% share. Those are not ranked, but they're in alphabetical order. For that, for in this case, for Ethernet, there are six as well. There's Altice USA, Cogent, Frontier, GTT, Windstream, and Zayo. And for this leaderboard, there's a couple of takeaways. The first is, you mentioned the base, it's still out there. We're talking 20 plus years of Ethernet. I mean, it's survived a lot. The base only grew 2.4% in the last year. And this number has kind of two pieces. One is that there's strong demand for Ethernet DIA services, which had double-digit port growth last year. However, this also includes the impact of declining demand for other Ethernet services, some of which are supporting SD-WAN, SASE, SSE solutions.
So what exactly, you know, Carrier Ethernet has been around, like I said, 20 years. What is Carrier Ethernet still growing? Mm-hmm. As you said, it was maybe a small percentage. Right. And what is the customer demand for Ethernet services, and how is it evolving both service and speeds? I think everyone wants to understand that.
Yeah. Yeah, but before we talk about this, you know, the services and speeds, they're the Ethernet market that we cover includes DIA, which is growing, and then the other services, which are not as, which we can go into, are private lines, Ethernet virtual private lines, e-access to VPN, Metro LAN, and WAN VPLS. Despite the migration we're seeing now, you know, like I said, Ethernet has grown. It's now nearly 1.4 million ports that are in service. A quick historical reference is that Vertical first quantified this market back in 2002. There were 14,000 ports. And the top three providers, I won't make you guess, but two of them aren't even in business anymore. So the first one's Bell South, and then Verizon, and then SBC. So if you can remember what SBC stand for, is Southwest Bell. And then, you know, we also started covering fiber because fiber is an inhibitor to Ethernet. And the lack of direct fiber connectivity was really a challenge, because if you didn't have fiber, you couldn't get higher speed internet. So most of the retail connections we track are delivered over direct optical fiber for Ethernet right now. And in fact, all of the six service providers on the Ethernet leaderboard are also ranked on the fiber lit buildings leaderboard.
So is Carrier Ethernet still very relevant?
It is relevant. As I said, with a base, you know, over a million ports, there's services that are not as much, and I'd like to share those with you now. Starting with the dedicated internet access, as we said, because that is where the growth is, and it's the largest and fastest growing service. And a major reason is connectivity for managed SD-WAN and SASE. And it's also being deployed for access to cloud-based services and data centers. And the primary speed for that is 100 meg. And the second largest piece of the market is Ethernet private lines. And those are point-to-point circuits for secure connectivity. The most widely used speed for the EPL is 1 gig. So those are 1 gig ports. And the purchase drivers are replacing legacy private lines and backhaul traffic and those types of things. And the outlook for that is basically flat now because customers are shifting to point-to-network services, to the cloud, to other types of things that EPL isn't as necessary for. The other pieces of those markets which have lower growth rates are virtual private lines, which in addition to point-to-point topologies, they support point-to-multipoint configurations, and WAN VPLS, which is the smallest segment, very limited base in terms of availability. And those have low growth rates. And then the other two, Metro LAN, if you remember, and e-access to VPN, those are good examples of connectivity evolution. And it's because previously each of the services was fast growing and now each is rapidly eroding. 10 years ago, Metro LAN was hot and it was the biggest service. Now demand is waning as they shift to cloud connectivity, typically with DIA or broadband, and some to SD-WAN. And access to VPN has the lowest level of growth overall, and this is attributed to MPLS cancellations as customers are migrating to other solutions.
Well, it's interesting that you talk about SD-WAN now driving the DIA part. So what's your thoughts on SD-WAN? Is the market really, it's over 10 years now. I don't see the market massively large. And I'm kind of curious, and now you've done a leaderboard on this too. Any thoughts about, carrier managed SD-WAN and the leaderboard that you've put out on SD-WAN?
Sure. That'd be really so the carrier managed SD-WAN leaderboard, it's also just released for 2023. There are, the threshold for being on the leaderboard is the 4%. That's where these companies are. There are seven companies on this year's list. In order by SiteShare is AT&T, Comcast Business, Verizon, Hughes, Lumen, Windstream, and Zayo. And five of the seven have MEF 3.0 SD-WAN service certification. There's also a challenge tier where the companies have between 1% and 4% share, and those are Ariaka, Cogent, Cox Business, Fusion, Connect, Metel, Spectrum Enterprise, and TPX. So you mentioned, Pascal, about growth, and we are saying that the growth of 24% for 23 is slowing, which obviously in contrast to Ethernet, that sounds really off because, Ethernet is so low. But it has slowed, it's a much slower growth than we had expected. And we're attributing that in some respects to the focus of many service providers on existing customers. Things like order fulfillment and bandwidth upgrades and adding capabilities like SASE and SSE to that. And when you look at where the growth had come from, the share gains were led by MSO and cable MSOs and providers specializing in mid-sized business sectors. Includes a challenge tier as well as the market players. And the market players are providers that are selling services in the U.S. with site share below 1%. And that does include global network providers that are managing U.S. customer sites. So that is a shift in terms of what's driving the markets.
So I think what you're saying is SD-WAN is not really slowing down. It's just morphing into SASE. It's more SASE is the pull and SD-WAN now is the connectivity part of the SASE or application assurance. So SASE is really SSE, ZTNA, and SD-WAN mm-hmm. all munched together for a cloud offering. And I think what you're saying is that now it was such a big, big focus on SD-WAN for the last decade. Now it's evolved to SASE. So in essence, really, maybe SD-WAN didn't slow down. It's just being pulled in another or labeled in another way under a subset of an umbrella offering, which I think SASE is. So what do you think for 2024, what are the most significant business challenges facing this managed SD-WAN SASE's offerings and from providers?
Well, there are a number of things that are happening. We're hearing from service providers, the major challenge is slowdown in decision-making for network migration due to economic uncertainty. That's been coming out for what we're hearing from the service providers. Customers in some industries and segments are also delaying purchases for the same reason, and that, trying to maximize use of their existing assets. And then on the supplier side, the technology partners are, doing different things. One of the challenges is, dealing with pricing increases from the tech suppliers. With Ethernet, you didn't really worry about who was supplying your equipment to put in your network as much. And here, that is a major thing. There's lots of, SD-WAN suppliers and SASE suppliers and SSE suppliers that are all trying to come together. And this has become a real challenge for companies trying to market these products. In fact, we say the integration of all of those things continues to be a real challenge on the service provider side for both marketing, sales, and technology teams as to how to put that all together.
Well, Rosemary, what enlightening information. I want to thank you for being on this episode of Executives at the Edge. And with that, I want to wish you a great day, and we will see you soon.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for Executives at the Edge. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe today. Share online and review. Find all our episodes on your favorite podcast platform and at left.net.